to Exodus chapter 5, the book of Exodus chapter 5, and we've been studying a series in our midweek home friendship groups, and there are small groups that meet during the week. If you're not part of a small group, I encourage you to be part of one of our small groups. You can contact the office to find a small group which is nearby to you. But we've been studying a series entitled Peculiar People. And I'll stay on that theme today, Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through to 4. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. Everyone say Pharaoh. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Can we say those four words? Let my people go. I'm watching the young people in the balcony. Hope they got their Bibles out. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who is this God that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. That sounds pretty strong. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee. Let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? You think that I'm going to let them stop working? In other words, he says, get you unto your burdens, or go back to your work. Go back and work for your slave masters. Moses said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, no. Get back to work. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's a wonderful verse right there. I think we might be able to read that one together. Can we read it out loud together, church? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want to minister on this title, just four words: move out and move on. Move out and move on. Lord God, we love you. We just thank you for your word. Lord, right now, Lord, I come against any distractions that are in the house today that would try to steal away what you're going to speak to your people today. Lord, let our minds be clear. Let our ears be open and our hearts ready to receive. Lord, these moments, Lord God, speak a rhema word into our lives, into our situations. Lord, reprove, rebuke, instruct. Lord God, guide us through your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Everybody say move out. And everybody say move on. Everybody say move out. Everybody say move on. If you've got a good attitude, you can sit down this morning. I dread someone just stay standing, eh? We have to have a prayer meeting then. Praise God. Move out and move on. You see, a few hundred years between the last page of Genesis and the first page of Exodus, this period of time have taken Israel, God's people, from enjoying the good life to being in slavery, to being in this place called Egypt, where they were working, where they were making bricks, where they were slaves. And they needed deliverance. Everybody say deliverance. They needed deliverance from that slavery and from that bondage. What had captured them, who was controlling them, they needed deliverance because they had been enslaved for 3.5 centuries in Egypt, enslaved. And God does what he always does, because God came. He came to set the captives free. He came to break the bonds of bondage on people. And he does what he always does. He sends a messenger. He says, Moses, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. God spoke to him through that burning bush. And Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to say, let my people go. Now, the second book of the Bible is Exodus. We read our text from there, Exodus chapter 5. And Exodus means what it sounds. Exit, to come out, or a way out. And we see from the very beginning of the Bible that God is about bringing us out of some things and taking us into some things. That our God is about taking us from somewhere to something better. He's about being, he's a God who wants us to be born again. He's a God that wants us to be new creatures. He's a God that wants to deliver us from whatever has enslaved us. He's a God that wants us to move out of bondage and move in to the blessings of God. And so Exodus means a way out. But Exodus is a beautiful book because, as you know, if you've been coming here any time, you'll know that I love studying the types and the shadows. And Exodus is full of the types and the shadows. Even the book of Exodus is a beautiful a book of the redemption of God's people. It's a book of redemption in the Old Testament. You might think redemption is just something in the New Testament, but God redeems his people. He brings them out of Egypt, and that whole account of coming out of Egypt is just like us coming out of sin. It's a beautiful book. It's a remarkable type of our redemption from sin. Egypt is like sin. Because sin keeps you bondage. You become a slave to sin. And Egypt is like sin. Pharaoh is like Satan. Moses is like Jesus, if you want. Because he came to declare to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Israel came out. If you know the account, they came out by the blood. They put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. And they went through the water. God wiped away Egypt. Sin in the water. And then they went into the wilderness where they followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, which speaks of the Holy Spirit. So they came out of Egypt by the blood, the water, and the Spirit. And we come out of sin the same way, by the blood, which speaks of death, repentance, by the water, which speaks of baptism, and by the Spirit, which speaks of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I wonder, have you ever needed a way out? I know that I have. Have you ever needed deliverance from whatever you're stuck in at that time? Israel did, because they were in bondage. They were in slavery. They were enslaved. They were stuck in Egypt. And that's what Christianity is about. Christianity is about deliverance. Church is about deliverance. Ministry is about deliverance. Why? Because God loves us too much to leave us stuck in our sin. God loves us too much to leave us bound by sin. God loves us too much to leave us living outside of the promises of God. He wants us to move out and to move into the promises of God, to move out of sin and to move into salvation. Deliverance from sin. Deliverance from addictions, deliverance from mindsets, deliverance from the lies that we believe. And you know, the devil is the father of lies, and he will come to you with every lie under the sun. But we can be delivered from his lies. And so God's message to the devil is the same message that Moses had to Pharaoh. Our message to those as Christians, our message to those who are lost, it's the same message that Moses had. Let my people go. Let my people go. And so Moses was the one that was used. God used Moses. Moses was anointed by God to be Israel's deliverer. And you and I have been anointed by God to see people delivered from sin. And to see people delivered from whatever has them bound. You have been anointed. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have been anointed. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Thank you, Jesus. But we don't stop there. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the world. We are to take it to the whole world, this message of deliverance. We have been anointed to go to the world and to go to Satan and say, let my people go. That's the message we've got. And so Israel would have had no hope if it wasn't for a God called man named Moses. And we know Moses, and we studied this in the previous midweek series when we talked about the mountains and we talked about Moses, but Moses did everything he could to get out of it. He says, hey, I can't speak too well. They're not going to like me. And it wasn't anything to do with Moses' ability. It wasn't his ability. It wasn't his personality. It was the anointing of God that rested on his life. And I want to tell you today, God can use you. It's not about your ability. It's not about your personality. It's not about how much knowledge you've got, but God wants to use you. Because there is a world that needs deliverance. And God wants to use us. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you are anointed to be a witness. You are anointed to preach the good news. You are anointed to stand in the face of the devil and say, let my people go. Amen. He was anointed and God did a work, but he chose to do it through a man. And Moses was thrilled with the fact that God was going to deliver Egypt until he heard the next part where God says, I'm going to use you, Moses. Now, he most likely would have been shaking in his boots, or maybe back in those days, he would have been shaking in his sandals. Come now, therefore, Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And so we see a principle here, right here, that God chooses human instruments to bring deliverance to the world. God doesn't rely on angels or programs or equipment, but God wants to use men and women just like you and I to bring deliverance, to bring the good news, to bring the gospel to the world. And that's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is our great commission. It's our great commission. Don't let it be your great omission, but let it be your commission. We have been commissioned. God still uses men and women to preach the gospel. You know, whoever you are, you don't need a pulpit. You can minister your testimony to somebody. You don't have to know a lot about the Bible. I encourage you to learn as much as you can. Study to show yourself approved unto God. But if you don't know a lot, you can just tell somebody your testimony. Tell them how Jesus brought you out. Amen. And so Moses goes down to Pharaoh. And if you look at it from the outside, it looked like it was Moses against Pharaoh. But really, it's God against Pharaoh. And so Moses says, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. So what did God do? He began to send plagues. Everybody say plagues. He began to send plagues upon the land. And Egypt was an interesting place. And I recently was reading about this. And they had so many gods. They had so many gods. And some scholars think they had at least 80 different gods. And what they would do is they would often take living creatures or inanimate objects, and they would consider them to embody some sort of deity, like frogs or water or things like that. And even Pharaoh in their country was considered to be a god. And so when you look at the plagues that God sent, they were more than just a demonstration of God's power. They were exactly that. When God sent the plagues, they were a demonstration of God's power. But each of the plagues were symbolic. They were a judgment upon the idolatrous worship of that pagan nation of Egypt. Here, if you look at this next slide, you can see that the first one, the water was turned to blood. You see, the Egyptian had a god named Harpy, the god of the Nile. And that we know the Nile, all the water was turned to blood. And then there was the frogs that came. And they also had a god, which I can't really pronounce that word because it hasn't got a Q-U, but Hecht or something like that. The goddess of resurrection, it was a frog goddess. And then there was the plague of lice. Somebody liked the sound of a frog goddess, eh? Lice. It was a pronunciation of judgment on Geb, the god of the earth, and then the flies, Kephi, the god of the insects, and the livestock, Apis, the god Apis, the bull god, and Hathor, the cow goddess, and then boils, Imhotep, if you can pronounce it that way, or the god of medicine. They had all these gods. Hail, the god Nut, all right? That sounds a bit crazy, but it was the sky goddess. Then there was Locust, the god Seth, the protector of crops. And then darkness came, Ra against the Egyptian god Ra, the sun god. And then lastly, the firstborn, the death of the firstborn, when that angel of death passed upon the nation of Egypt. And it was a direct judgment on the god Osiris, or the giver of life. And so each of those plagues, yes, they were a demonstration of the power of God, but it was even more than that. God was pronouncing judgment upon each of the idols of pagan worship in Egypt. Now, that last one was the angel of death. And to be spared the angel of death, where the firstborn in every home would die, the blood had to be applied. And the blood of the lamb, they had to take a lamb without blemish. And we know that this is a type of Jesus Christ, because he was the Lamb of God. He was without blemish, and his blood was shed for us so that the angel of death will pass over us. But they had to take it, and they had to prepare it a certain way, and they had to take the blood and apply it to the doorposts and the lintels of their door. God was very specific in what they had to do. Everyone say specific. They couldn't just do whatever they wanted. It wasn't open for private interpretation. God was very specific, and they had to follow God's word exactly. Their own reasoning didn't come into it. They had to follow God's word. And let me tell you today, saving faith, everyone say saving faith. Saving faith is not just some mental belief in your mind. Saving faith requires obedience. The angel of death would not have passed over those households if they did not become obedient and apply the blood. They had to be specific. They had to be obedient. And this is what you need to understand about faith today. It's not just saying, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the cross. No, true belief goes beyond that, and it will result in obedience. And so eventually Pharaoh lets them go. But then, if you know the story, he changes his mind. Amen. That's right. And the children of Israel had come to the edge of the Red Sea. And what happens right there to make matters worse? They're standing there and they're stuck. The Red Sea's in front of them, and Pharaoh changes his mind and he sends 600 chosen chariots and soldiers. He says, go and bring them back. And we know the account. Moses stands, he says, stand still, see the glory of God. And he takes that rod, and the waters part, and the children walk through on dry ground. I'm thankful for a God who brings us out and brings us in. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Let my people go. And God parts the waters, and the children of Israel walk through on dry ground. I want to tell you today, if anything has you bound, I want to tell you, Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus wants to set you free. And in saying that, I can feel that the devil does not like those words, because he wants to think that you are stuck. He wants to think that you have no choice in it. He wants you to think that you are a lost cause. But if you are bound by anything, sin, addiction, mindsets, lies, whatever they are, if you are bound by anything, Jesus wants to set you free, and he can set you free today. Somebody ought to believe that. He came to redeem new life. God's message to the devil and our message to those who are bound in sin is, let my people go. Let them move out and let them move into the promised land. But Satan is a lot like Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't want to let them go. And no, Satan doesn't want to let you go either. You know, a lot of people, they don't really believe in Satan until they get saved. And when they get saved, they're like, you know what? I never believed there was a devil until I got saved, and now he hounds me. Why? Because now you have chosen to walk into the promised land and to start living for God. And so what happens is Satan says, no, I'm not going to let you go. And he begins to fight against you to bring you back, just like Pharaoh did. And if the devil's not bothering you, then maybe you ought to think where your life is right now. Because if you're on his side, he's not going to bother you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so Pharaoh is a lot like Satan. And Pharaoh offered four compromises. Everyone say compromises. Here is the first one. The first compromise was, okay, you can do your thing, but stay in Egypt. Stay here. In Exodus 8, verse 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, yes, go and sacrifice to God in the land. Stay in Egypt. He said, I still want control over you. Stay here. Now, you can worship. And you know, the devil says the same thing to Christians today. Yeah, you can go to church, you can worship, but just stay in the world. Just stay in Egypt. Keep living in sin. Yeah, do your prayer thing, do your worship thing, go to church, you know, even pay your tithe. He doesn't care about that. But just stay in Egypt. And the devil wants us to compromise, just like Pharaoh wanted them to compromise. Pharaoh says, you can live for God, but just keep one foot in Egypt. Let me tell you, you can't live for God with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You can't live for God when you're compromising. God is an all-in or an all-out God. In fact, the Bible says that he would rather us hot or cold, but if we are lukewarm, he will spew us out of his mouth. And so Pharaoh comes with a compromise. He says, yes, you can worship, but just stay here. Ephesians 4 says, no, it's not like that. You got to put off the old man and you got to put on the new man. You got to come out and you got to come in. You can't live with one foot in both worlds. You can't live for God on Sunday and live for the devil on Monday to Saturday. And so there was a compromise, and it's the same compromise that the devil would use against Christians today. Stay in Egypt. The second compromise, he thought, well, if you're not going to stay, then just stay close. Stay close to Egypt. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. You can do your God thing. You can do that. But just don't go too far. Just stay close. And you know, a lot of Christians, you believe it or not, they're always trying to find the fine line. How close they can live to sin without being a sinner. Pastor, can you tell me exactly, like, where is the line? If you're trying to live as close to the line as you can, then you're a fool, because you're going to make a mistake and you're going to go over the line. Set your guardrail in a safe place, away from the line, so even if you make a mistake, you still don't cross the line. You see, if you drive on the side of a cliff, they don't put that guardrail right on the edge. They put it inside, because even if you hit the guardrail, you still don't go over it. And so Pharaoh said, yes, you can do it, but don't go too far. Just stay close. He knew if they weren't far away that he could easily recapture them and bring them back. And if Pharaoh can keep us close to the world in our interests, God says, come out from among them and be you separate. The devil says, no, you can still love the world. You can still love ungodly things. It's all right. As long as you go to church on Sunday and all those sort of things, just stay close to the world. But let me tell you, if you stay close to the world, the devil's going to have an influence on you. I want to move out, and I don't want to be stuck in the middle. I want to move in to the kingdom of God. I want to move in to the promises of God. And if the devil can keep us close to the world, you see, this is the main problem in Christianity today. People say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to be too different from the world. That was the same thing that Pharaoh used against the children of Israel. Even if you think about Lot, parents, listen to me now. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and it cost his family dearly. Be careful in which direction you pitch your tent. You say, well, we're not in Sodom. We don't do those things in our house. We don't allow those things. But when you allow those things on your TV, you are pitching your tent towards Sodom. And the more your kids look at Sodom, the more they're going to be drawn there. The more they're going to be desensitized. You got to be careful. I spoke about this, about your eyes and your ears. Be careful which direction you've pointed and pitched your tent. And Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and it cost his family. You got to watch out for worldliness that we allow in our houses. If you pitch your tent towards Sodom, you will end up in Sodom. That's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Okay? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Compromises. Everyone say compromises. Pharaoh comes up with another one. Compromise number three. You can go, but don't take your family. Not so. Go now that you that are men and serve the Lord for that you did desire. Do what you desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And so they were told, go now, you that are men. Let the men go. You go, men. Leave your families here. And Pharaoh knew. Pharaoh knew that if the men didn't take their families, there would be a strong pull to come back to Egypt. And the devil says to parents in the year 2022, you can be a Christian, but just keep it to yourself. You let your children make up their own mind. And yes, that is true. There comes a time when all of our children need to have their own relationship with God. But we don't keep this to ourselves. I want my children to serve God. I'm going to share it with my children. Because why? The devil doesn't want us to take the next generation with us. And if we leave them there, there'll be a drawing back to Egypt. That's exactly what Pharaoh said. He said, okay, you that are convinced, dads, you go. You do your thing, but leave your family here. We must not leave the next generation in Egypt. And compromise number four, and this is a difficult one. Pharaoh says, don't take your property. Leave your stuff here. Leave it here. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye and serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. You see, when you get saved, let every part of you be saved. Let your time be redeemed. Let your property be redeemed. Let your talents be redeemed. Let your wallet be redeemed. Take it all with you. Don't leave your stuff in Egypt. When you're saved, all of you get saved. Don't leave your flocks and herds in Egypt. Pharaoh's last ditch attempt was a compromise. He said, leave your property here. You go. But leave your treasure here. Leave your finance here. Let me tell you, living for Jesus is either all in or it's all out. And God is calling us today to move out and to move in, to move out of Egypt and to move into the promised land, to move into the promises of God. I read it again, Revelation 3:16. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And so a Pharaoh eventually lets them go. And they get to the Red Sea and there Pharaoh changes his mind and they're stuck. Everyone say they're stuck. Now, he sends 600 chosen chariots to chase them down. They've been enslaved for 400 years. They had been living around Egyptians for so long. 40 years is a generation. So 400 years, 10 generations of living around Egyptians, living around Egyptian gods. In fact, They were so, their understanding was so distorted that they even tried to build an image of God. And when they tried to build an image of God, they built an image of an Egyptian God because that's all they knew. And so they hit the wall, they're stuck. And maybe you're stuck here today. And they're stuck on the shore of the Red Sea. They don't know what to do. And what does God do? They cry out to God. God, help us. And you know what? God heard them. And what does he say? We read it here in Exodus 14, verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Everyone say, go forward. Now that's a powerful word for every single one of us. Even for the bishop this morning, been serving God a long time. God is still speaking, go forward. There is never a time where you stop. Just go forward. And so wherever you are today, if you feel stuck, God is saying, go forward. And I want you to begin to seek God and say, God, what is my next step? God, I want to keep moving forward. You never arrive as a Christian until you walk through those pearly gates. You're never saved until you hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah, we are saved by faith right now. I believe I am saved, but I'm being saved as well. And I will be saved when I walk through those gates. But there's no point where you say, well, I've arrived. Kick my feet up on a sofa and just relax. No, we've got to keep moving forward. And if you're stuck today, I want to tell you, move forward. Keep going forward. Make up your mind. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No compromise. I'm moving forward. I'm coming out and I'm going in. And they cried unto God and God said, go forward. Everyone say, go forward. And so here is, I can't go past this. If you haven't been baptized today, then you need to move forward as well. You need to go through the waters. You see, God wants to deal with your past once and for all. And that's what happens in the waters of baptism. Our sins are washed away. And here at Israel, they're runaway slaves. Even if they outran Pharaoh, even if they were faster than Pharaoh, Pharaoh was still there. He was still pursuing them. They were runaway slaves. And Pharaoh was always there. But when they went through the water, Pharaoh was wiped out. Their sin was gone. That bondage was finished when they went through the water. And some people say the power of baptism is that it's a public profession of faith. Yeah, that's part of it. It's a great thing that you profess your faith in front of your family and the church and your friends and you get baptized as a public profession of faith. Yeah, that's part of it. But the power of baptism is the same thing that happened in the book of Exodus. The power of baptism is that our past is erased. That is the power of baptism, that our sins are washed away, our past is gone. And unless they went forward through the waters, Pharaoh was always going to be there. And so if you haven't been baptized, you ought to be baptized. The Bible says in Romans 6, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we so be planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so Moses says, God, we're stuck. And God says, go forward. And God is speaking to people today to go forward. God's word is move out and move on and move in to the promises of God. Keep moving further and further away from Egypt. And what are the current trends in Christianity? And it's so concerning. It's a pressure from the world and from Satan. Is that the church must constantly change so that it can relate to a changing society. Let me tell you, God has not called us to blend in. Keep moving away from Egypt. Keep going forward. Yes, we've got to be in the world, but not of the world. And you know how I explain that? We've got to be like a submarine. A submarine is useless on the shore. Christians are useless when we're on the shore, when we're not in the world. We've got to be in the world because we've got to tell people. And so you've got to be in the world, but not of the world. A submarine is useless on the shore. The submarine's got to be in the water. But the problem is when the water gets in the submarine, then the submarine becomes useless again. It's the same with a Christian. We've got to be in the world, but don't let the world get inside of us. The call of God, and there's no doubt the call of God is still to come out and to come in. If the musicians could come right now. And so we're not to blend in. Everyone say blend in. A lot of churches are trying to blend in these days, trying to change. You see, as we get into these last days, because we follow the Word of God and the world is denying the Word of God, we're going to become more and more different from the world. The call of God is not to blend in, but to come out. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness. Everyone say in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let's stand. And so there are many compromises. The devil would come to you with many compromises. And there are people here today that you know what I'm talking about, because the devil has come with the same compromises to you, that somehow you can be a Christian and still live in the worldly ways. That somehow you could be a Christian and you could just stay as close as possible to the world. No, it's time to move out. It's time to move on. Keep moving forward. The devil would come to somebody and say, come on, yeah, you can be a Christian, but leave your family out of it. Just, it's your own thing. No, we continue to pray for our families. We're never gonna stop until we see that they are saved. We want them to come with us. The devil would say, no, just keep it to yourself. We can't afford to do that, church. The fourth compromise was that, you know, we'll be saved, but the things that we treasure, let's just keep them to ourselves. Let's leave them in Egypt. Our finances, our herds and our flocks. You see, God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to move out and He wants us to move on. You see, we're not called just to be different from the world. We are called to be like Jesus. And if you have got your eyes and your mind set on being like Jesus, the Christian walk never stops. You're just moving forward. You're growing. You're growing to know more about God. You're growing to become more like Jesus. If you're stuck today, I got two words for you. Go forward. What is your next step today? Take that next step today. Whatever it is, God is speaking to you today. Move out and move on. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let my people go. That's what I'm preaching today. Let my people go. I'm preaching that to the devil. Let my people go. Let me tell you, there is freedom. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. You can be delivered from whatever has you bound, whatever has you stuck. Our God is a God of deliverance. I just wonder if there's somebody here today that is willing to mix their faith with the Word today and say, God, you said it. I believe it. I want to see it in my life. Can we lift our hands all across this place right now? The call of God is to move out of Egypt. If you're in sin today, repent of your sin. If you've never been baptized, go through those waters of baptism. If you've been baptized, you've been born again, but you're stuck today. My word is to tell you today to keep moving forward. I want to be more like Jesus. Lord God, search my heart. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Search me, oh God. If there be any wicked way in me, God, I don't want to be lukewarm. God, I want to live for you. Move out and move on. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you today. Come on, church, let's just pray right now. Let's apply this word to our hearts right now. Oh, I don't want to compromise with this world. God is calling us out, brothers and sisters, calling us out of Egypt, calling us out of bondage and slavery, calling us out of sin. He wants you to move out and to move in. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship Him today. If you're in the wilderness today, worship God. Worship will take you through to the promises of God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, God. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Come on, seek Him and you will find Him today. Hallelujah. Let my people go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, we pray for our families today. We pray for our children today. We pray for our youth today. Oh God, we pray for our unsaved spouses today. We pray for our unsaved friends and our colleagues today. Oh God, we pray, let them know your deliverance. Let them know your power. Help us, oh God, not to be content with where we are right now, but that we would keep moving forward. Keep looking unto you as the author and finisher of our faith. Keep running the race with patience, oh God. We're going to run. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.